Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. Before I get off what's on my chest, let's talk about this race war that you're trying to, I don't know, they're trying to amp up. Like I said, when you get used to this matrix, you see these narratives, you see these storylines, you see these events that happen like a radio knob. And ever so often, they start rotating that knob to where they raise the volume of the race war. Most people don't see it because they use the race war, they use race, they use victim card to boost their platforms. I'm not talking about professional podcasters or professional streamers. I'm talking about everyday people who have made a presence online by talking about certain issues that happen from day to day. So people are able to swallow the commentary out of these pages. But when you talk about the spiritual wickedness or the witchcraft behind it, then all of a sudden it's not believable. People struggle with that there are a group of people, a large group of people, their sole purpose on this earth is to sacrifice, blood sacrifice, and do sexual worship. People cannot fathom that there are actually human beings that have came into adulthood, that they have dedicated their life to spiritual wickedness. So anytime you show them or open the door of what that looks like inside, they don't want to believe it. Mind you, it doesn't make them insane. It doesn't make them crazy or make them dumb. They have just been used to a regular, normal world of not seeing much wickedness because they've been indoctrinated in thinking that these things don't go against the Most High Yahuwah. That they have never seen or felt the presence of the Almighty or the El Gabor. So it's understandable why when you tell them all of a sudden that these things are happening behind the veil, behind the scenes, then you're looked at as crazy because normal human beings don't have to do this. Normal human beings don't do this. But this is the greatness of Yahuwah and laying everything bare or manifesting this entire world to us by bringing all of this wickedness to the forefront so we can understand this has always been going on. He wants us, like I said in the last episode, he wants us to understand this is why we have to have laws, statutes, commandments. This is why it's not about being saved by grace, that we have to have law. It has to be a border between righteousness and wickedness. He's allowed through free will for us to pick and choose what we need and what we want to do. People keep saying, why is this wickedness here? Why is evil here? Because y'all wanted free will. That was the main issue. We wanted free will. We wanted to be able to do what thou wilt. So the layer on top of doing what you want, if your will is to get drunk, get high, smoke weed, do whatever you feel like doing, fornicate, jump from girl to girl, cheat in your marriage, have kids out of wedlock, if that's your thing because you do what thou wilt, okay. But just know above that level is people who love to sacrifice and ritually abuse children and abuse adults to get what they want because on top of that is somebody who controls the top of that pyramid and say, okay, I will give you money just so I can see you sacrifice or ritually sacrifice human beings. That's what it's about. Now, all of a sudden, we don't want to do what thy will. We don't want to have free will. We want the Most High to come in and protect us. We want to give up our free will by following his statutes and his commandments so we can stay safe in this world. That is what he wants us to show. He wanted to show us. People go, oh, you know, how are we going to take accountability for Adam and Eve, what the first married couple did, and now it falls on us. It's no different. Eve wanted to do what thy will. She wanted to do that. She wanted to know the knowledge of good and evil. She wanted to make those decisions. The Most High gave Adam commandment, don't do this, don't do that, and here you can stay. Woman wanted to know free will, truly wanted to know free will. And this is why we are where we are in this generation. And this is why the Most High has to come back and clean it up with his son. He wanted to prove a point. This is why I did what I did. Because obviously, when I made you just above the animal and a lot lower than the angels who transgressed against me. So if I knew that my own sons, my own angels, were going to transgress against me and they have seen paradise, I know that the creature that I make is going to have a lot of stumbling blocks, a lot of snares, a lot of pitfalls to overcome. And if they overcome it, I will give them the place of where the angels chose to leave their habitation. That's the whole gag. That's the whole battle. That the angels saw exactly where they lived, but they decided to choose this world where this world could be packed up, boxed up, shipped up, and destroyed. But they chose this world. They chose to have a woman. They chose to bring seed into this world. They wanted to feel sexual intercourse. Knowing that if they did that, they would be stuck. They would be stuck in this world that's going to be destroyed. Packed up and boxed up and shipped on. So the angels understood free will and the consequences thereof. But the gag of it is, like I mentioned before, is that the Most High is using us to prove a point. Look at these creatures that I have made just above animal. They have never seen paradise. They had never seen me. They had never understood rest and peace. They never seen the gloriousness of the kingdom I built up here. But look how they're going to follow my rules, my statutes, and my commandments. I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to give them salvation over and over again until they get it right. To prove that point that they have never seen up here. You have seen up here. You angels that I've created with all beauty, with all knowledge, with all understanding, with all wisdom. You've seen what it is up here. You've seen what life is like up here. Yet you chose. You chose a world that will be corrupted and destroyed. That's the whole gag. That's the bottom line of this whole war. I like that that line in the movie The Watchmen, where the blue guy, Dr. Manhattan, says, I'm a puppet, but at least I'm a puppet that can see the strings. And some of us are being used as puppets. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I want the Most High to use me like a puppet. I know what the strings look like. I'd rather be used as a puppet for the Most High rather than being used as a puppet for Satan. Because once you come into the world of knowledge and understanding, you see how completely foolish this entire world is and how people will fall victim to things that are not real while claiming they know God, claiming they know the Messiah. That is the gag and joke of it all. So this race war they're trying to push, I've been thoroughly enjoying this whole Taylor Swift expose that now all of a sudden her listeners, her fans, her diehards, her Swifties are now turning against her music. Which I can tell you that's what you hear in that music is what it's always been like, except she's been showing it through symbolism. But now they're just catching on. Now all of a sudden she has explicit lyrics, which by the comments in the Peanut Gallery, that she came off with this image of being a country, lily white Christian girl. You know, the old Americana, the old white Americana. And they're finding out that it was all a facade. It was all a veil that they just couldn't see. This is one of the lyrics from off of one of her songs. I'll be a fallen figure. I drink that brown liquor. I can make deals with the devil because my dick's bigger. This love is pure profit. Just step into my office. I dry your tears with my sleeve. Leave it with me. They are really deconstructing her entire album, saying there's not one hit on that album, which you can understand. But like I said, the Most High says when he pours out his rock upon all flesh, that means everybody will eventually have their time of seeing this world for what it is and its puppets for what they are. So it's been an incredible joy. I don't really listen to her music at all. I don't even get into the argument when they do the whole Beyonce versus Taylor Swift thing, but on my FYP, this is what comes up, and I've just been enjoyed reading the comments of women saying how bad the album was. And then, of course, they need to sprinkle in a little race war by using Travis Kelce's Negro X, that he'd been dating black girls all this time, and now he got with a 35-year-old who's just now opening up about sex and making it so cringe that they're using samples from young black entertainers to push this. I'm all about sex now. I'm opening up. I'm really a freak behind the scenes. Or I'm a really freak in the bed, a freak in the sheets. And it's been embarrassing because this is how far they have to go to push a race war. Now, mind you, they selected Travis Kelce from the beginning. They had him date a bunch of black girls, or maybe that was his preference to begin with, because they know that in order to rise in degrees of Freemasonry, it has to be a programming of darkness to light. If you look at Kanye West, he started off with a really brown-skinned girl. And over time, look at his girlfriends. They had become lighter and lighter and lighter. How he went from that the woman who was his stylist, very dark brown. And then he went right to Amber Rose, which was light-skinned. Then he went to Kim, which is really almost white. And then, he went to Julia Fox. And then the last girl he had. So obviously, it was darkness to light. It was like a programming. It was what they believe in as their motto. So of course, with him, since we're in a shortened time period, and the NFL career is not long like the music career, all they did was have him date two or three black girls, then jumped him right into being with Taylor Swift. And so now they're using the backlash of some cringy lyric about not being a bad bitch, she's not a savage, and that's to look harshly upon Negro women, because that's what Negro women call themselves, bad bitches, and we are supposed to be savages, but not in a way where it's cool, in a way that comes out of her mouth being as like we're animals. So it's going to be forced. The race war is going to be forced. I'm going to talk about the whole Kyron Lacey and the Sundays episode, because I need a whole episode for that, because I want to stay on the women. I do. I'm not understanding how you women can really love a man, truly love this man, and confess with your mouth, confess with your heart, confess with your actions that you love this man. But yet when it comes to this man giving you direction, there's always back talk. Some of you women do not know how to zip it. You do not know how to control your mouth. I don't know where this comes from. I truly don't. Is it because you don't respect your father? Is the reason why you talk back to so many men? Is it because the relationships that you've had over time have built up the stamina of talking back to these men because you pick men who are emasculated, pick men who are betas, pick men who weren't really men that relied upon you either for food, substance, or a roof over their head? Where does this come from? And truly, if you're a woman who is awakened and understand your path through relationships and know this is about you, please chime in the comment section. Truly. Because I understand that this behavior don't stop even when you're married. I truly don't. A man could show you, truly show you that he loves you and that he's following Yah. And when it comes to Yah, anything about Yah, that man has authority. The Most High has given us authority over the household because we are obedient to him. The Most High is not given charge or authority over anything that isn't subjugated to his law, statutes, commandments. But somewhere deep in the crevices of you females' minds is that when a man is trying to correct you or tell you not to do something, your first inclination is to run your mouth, is to open your mouth and try to defend yourself because you don't want to feel shame or you feel like it's going to be a wrong on your part. This is the insecurity of females all over. I don't care how strong you think you are. All women have some level of insecurity. The beauty industry would not be in the billions if women didn't have or suffer through some type of insecurity. But when it comes to your mouth, you know you can defend or manipulate or accuse through the words of your mouth. This is why women's biggest weapon is their mouth, and next is their emotions. They know that they cannot, as women, fight men. Y'all know y'all can't square up, shoot the five, knuckle up with men. Y'all know y'all lose that battle 10 times out of 10. You know you will. So where you fight is with words and emotions. And when you want to be, if you come from relationships where they have been spoiled, which caused you to go into survivor mode, which caused you to go into a defensive stance, you use your mouth as a defense mechanism to get shame off you. Because you see yourself with too much pride and with too much ego. Why don't y'all just marry or be with men who are your mortal enemies, your natural enemies? Why won't you just be with them? So then you can challenge everything they have to say to you. Why do you challenge men who are trying to love you? I'm telling you, men as husbands, as whatever you are to your woman, this is how Yah had to deal with the nation of Yasharel. Truly. We could give them direction. We can give them guidance, we can give them love, and occasionally, over time, time again, they will try to turn on us at the same time saying they confess that they love us, but turn on us with their actions because they don't want to feel shame, they don't want to feel accountability, and they don't want to repent. They can read scriptures from the morning to the sun comes up, until the nighttime when the moon goes down, and don't apply none of it when it comes to a situation where they have to take accountability. That's too much, like the whole entire nation of Yasharel. They could do Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, new moon offerings, new moon Shabbats. They could do the whole works. But over time, the man that has blessed them, the man that has been gracious unto them, the man has escorted enemies away from them or trodden them down for the sake of the nation that he loves. Occasionally, the nation of Yasharel will backtalk against the Most High. Show time and time again that other gods are better than the God that has saved them or brought them out of bondage. You know how wild that is. You know how wild to understand of coming from 280 years of bondage. And no way you was going to escape this bondage but by somebody more powerful than you and more powerful than the nation that you serve. And then after a time period, forget all that and start serving gods of wood and stone that do not talk, that do not hear, and do not see. And I feel that's exactly what women want. Women want false gods as husbands or as men because they want men that do not talk, do not see, and do not hear. That's what they want. So they can run their mouths and say exactly what they want to say to them and have men not to say nothing. And you know what the ironic part of that is? When women tell men to do something, men rarely ever have a talk back. Rarely. If a woman said, hey, honey, can you please flush the food from the plates into the sink and the disposal so we don't attract flies? Men who don't talk or men just being men will either just, okay, get up and wash the sink out, push the garbage disposal unit and go back to what he was doing, sit down like nothing happened. Some men just answer through action, is what I'm saying. Some men will answer through action. But the wild part of that is women will get upset that you are not affirming what they said with a response out of the mouth. Some men aren't just wordy. Some men are by action only. You tell me what you need me to do, I'll go do it. I don't need any, well, damn, I was going to do this and then, you know, if I did it this way, then I don't do all that. All that extra over explanation. Why do I need to do that? You tell me where to go from A to B, I'm going to get you to A to B. But when it comes to women and you tell them to go from A to B, it got to be A, A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7. We will veer off into C before we even get back to B. Why? Because along that route, it has to be, oh, somebody's telling me to do something. Now, I don't like the way that feels. Someone's telling me to do something, and I take it as I'm wrong, and they're right. So now I have to defend myself with my mouth and with more words to draw him in emotionally so I can use his reaction against himself so I'm scot-free. So now I can go to C, which is, and C is not taking accountability, making the reaction, the real action. So now it's about him and his reaction and his fault. So I don't have to go to B. I can take C route and just come back in the back door to B, and then I could do it that way. That's what women want to do. Most women, that's what they want to do. So we're going to go through words against your mouth and your pride, because that's what's suffering a lot of relationships out there, is your mouth and your pride. Your mouth and your pride. And this is for women who claim or want to be Proverbs 31 women and don't understand what that actually entails. A lot of it entails is keeping your mouth shut and taking correction. I don't read anywhere in scripture that Rachel or Leah talked back to Jacob or Yaakov or Yasharel. I don't see anywhere in scripture where Sarah talked back to Abraham. I don't see anywhere in scripture where Rebecca talked back to Yitzchak. Proverbs 13:3, he that guards his mouth guards his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Sometimes I wish they've had female versions of these scriptures instead of just saying he, his, and him. I always just say she, so it's exactly at the heart of the problem. He that guards his mouth guards his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Hey, you know, you shouldn't do this because this is Shabbat. Well, I already had it set up this way at 6 o'clock, and then, you know, then I got to do this. I said, you know, it's still the Shabbat. We need to watch and guard what we say. But, you know, I didn't want to do that. Like, all of that is insane to me. Insane. If y'all was in the presence of a form of a man on earth right now, I guarantee you, any good woman or any woman, after a while, will start challenging and asking, why you want me to do that? To the man that created the entire universe. Oh, life is what we know. Eventually, she will question, why are we doing it this way? Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall guard them. You know when men, you know when how men handle certain situations when it comes to action or to things that disappoint them? They rarely say anything then. It literally takes maybe 4 or 5 mistakes down the line for a man to actually blow up and say, oh, he's raising his voice now, he's getting upset. So that's what women look for. And they don't understand that this man has actually suffered through what I've been doing this entire time, and he has not mentioned anything to me. So when I see him blow up, I don't have the women's like, I don't have the understanding and the foreknowledge to say, okay, he is at his wit's end at this particular issue. That means he has let me slide countless times before actually going off on me. Women, never crosses your mind, do it. No. You look at it, oh, he's raising his voice at me. He's upset at me. Why? Why is he upset at me? I didn't do nothing. And then the man has to recount all the times of when you did something. It's almost like Yah didn't step in on every single sin when the nation of Yahshua was messing up. It came to a point where he didn't want to see it anymore. He was noticing it. Over time, he was noticing it. He's like, all right, I see where they messing up. I see they started worshiping idols again. I see they keep doing it. Oh, I see them burning incense or on the altars that they created for me. Now they're putting swine's flesh. Now they're putting unclean animals on the altar. Oh, now they're throwing their children in the fire. Now I got to come down. But he didn't say nothing until we started doing the most disrespectful thing. But it's the same thing, which is worshiping other idols, worshiping other gods, get into other nations' religions. And he had to keep constantly watching us do that. So as a man who's also being obedient and following Yah, it's almost the same Ruach, because where do you think we get this Ruach HaKodesh from? Where do you think we get the discernment from? We get it from the Heavenly Father. So it entails we started almost mimicking the behaviors of the Heavenly Father. We may not see, we may not say nothing when you do it the first time. The second time, look, all right, now this is becoming a pattern. Third time, should I say something? If I say something, it's going to be an argument. She's going to make the argument about my emotions. Then she's going to make the argument again about my reactions. And then we're going to go all the way around the bin about different subjects and different issues that have nothing to do with the issue at hand. So then do I really want to sit through that? Ah, I got to go to work, or I got to go do this with the kids, or I got to go do this. I don't have the time to actually have the time to actually discuss with patience this topic because I'm going to go off. Then it becomes the fourth and fifth time. You're like, I'm so hot right now. If I say something, it's going to be a whole thing. Then it comes to the sixth and seventh time. You're like, ah, forget it. Yo, stop doing it. Then it becomes you raise your voice right after the mouth. You open your mouth back to something he's telling you not to do. This is what women don't understand. The man is never going off on you the moment you do the first thing. Please understand that. He is never going off on you after you make a mistake the first time. He has watched you make that mistake countless times, but and that it comes to a point where even he, who is patient in Ruach, has decided, you know what, this is it. Because now it's becoming a pattern, and she thinks that this is the way to be. Just like Yah saw us time and time again worshiping false gods of wood and stone and setting up altars for them or setting up astral poles for them. And it's like, you know what? Nah. Now I gotta say something because they think this is what I want. This is what I allow to happen. So men have to stand up. And here comes the woman's mouth, foolish. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. So now it's all about defending yourself. How can I defend myself to get this heat off me? Because I don't like correction. I don't like my man, the man that I say that I love, the man I committed to, the man I allowed to be under his roof. I want to stand up against him, the man that has provided for me, that has made my life easier. I want to stand up against him in the motion, in the 5 minute of emotion I feel with pride. I don't know how. There is a reason why y'all don't run this world. It is a reason for it. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Have you ever seen or heard your woman backtrack into somewhere that this conversation wasn't even going? Like, I mean, just say anything like you know, throwing darts at the dartboard. Throwing darts at the unaccountability dartboard. Like, how many darts can I throw until I actually hit the target, hit the middle? That's what your, you notice that's what your woman does, don't it? Don't you? That when it comes to not taking accountability, she'll swim around a couple of issues first to try to draw you into a battle, to draw you in emotionally, so they watch your reaction, then use your reaction against you. That's why women tear off into these side quest missions or these side quest talks when it comes to something they have done wrong. And instead of taking accountability, like men take accountability, they want to veer off to see if they can catch you in a trap. Because women love being emotionally manipulative, and they don't think they are. They don't think they have the ability to be manipulative. All women at some point or at some level are manipulative. They have to be, because they know they can't shoot the five, throw knuckles, or fight with a man. So they have to be somewhat emotionally manipulative. That is the only way they're going to bring the conversation underneath them where they can rule. You would think, after how many times you love this woman, after how many times you've gotten things for this woman, after how many times you provided for this woman, it will still come out. And depending on what type of woman you have, they either regress to a teenage mindset, or they'll buck up like a grown woman and then take accountability and say sorry. But most women have a teenage mindset, or whatever emotional trauma has stunted them in their life. So if something happened to them at 19 or at 10 or at 11, that's exactly where their brain regresses at a time of accountability. Y'all think, see the thing with men, we keep thinking we're talking to somebody our age or somebody close to our age. Most times when it comes to these arguments, you are talking to somebody who is a child. Mentally and emotionally. Because they don't see it as, oh, this man is trying to make me better. They see it as, oh, he's attacking me for who I am. And that stems from whatever trauma, like I said, has warped their brain all their lives. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. So that's exactly what they want us to do. Feed on the foolishness. I understand when it comes to these certain arguments and issues in my marriage now, which is funny, I'm going to say, as a newlywed in my marriage now, I know where it comes from. I know the source of where it comes from. I know exactly what I'm dealing with. So sometimes she'll try to trap me. Oh, can we talk about this? I would like to know your feelings on this. See, when she comes to me like, I want to know your feelings about this. That's a trap. I'm like, nah. I said, I'm not even in the mood to talk. Because I know, as soon as I voice my emotions or voice my opinion, it's going to be used on me. It's going to be used back against me. Because I'm going to make too much sense. My emotions are going to make too much sense. My reasoning for being upset is going to make too much sense. Women don't like logic. They like emotion. They want you to feel why they made the mistake. They want you to understand why the mistake happened from their point of view. Rather than just making it correct, they want you to feel why it wasn't corrected. And like I said before, it comes from some level or some past trauma or issue that they have not conquered. And they don't want to conquer it. They don't want to conquer it because it becomes a crutch. And it's a crutch they need. So if they say they conquered this particular issue in their life, this, this particular trauma, that means whenever they mess up, they can't lean on this trauma because now they have conquered it or say that it's no longer an issue for me. Now they have to take accountability. And most women don't want to take accountability. They want to have a couple of crutches laying around them. So if one crutch don't work, they'll pick up another. If another one don't work, they'll pick up another. It don't matter what that is, that crutch is. It's just a reason. A reason they can lay on and say, oh, this is why I didn't do it. Oh, I didn't do it because I switched the call from this day to this day. Oh, I didn't do it because I forgot. I did this day because they didn't pay attention to this. It's always going to be something. And that's what men suffer through. Always having to hear something. And after a while, you get tired of hearing something after the correction. Just correct it. A man is not looking at you and say, you know what? I'm way above you. I'm better than you because I can correct you. That's not how we see it as men. I don't know what goes through y'all women's minds when a man is correcting you, but it's not that. No man that loves his woman is saying, ha, I'm so glad I got this woman beat at her own game. Or I'm so glad I got this woman beat that I caught her doing something incorrect. Men don't care. Men just like, I want peace, but this is destroying my peace. This is eradicating my peace. I would like for this issue not to happen so we can have peace together. Not necessarily I'm telling you to stop doing this for my sake. I'm doing it, telling you to stop doing it for our sake. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Sometimes the best answer is no answer. Because I know when I keep my mouth shut, I know I won't say anything that'll keep the conversation going. I know when I don't say nothing, it'll all just temper down. That's why I'm glad. That's why I find my joy. I find my joy is just letting it ride on out. That not everything needs to be brought up, and not everything needs to be an argument. Not everything needs to be a seat on Dr. Phil. I understood that part of it. In order for me to have my joy, I have to have no answer sometimes. The heart, Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Pours out evil things. And y'all forbid, y'all got one of these women that curse and say all types of obnoxious stuff when y'all arguing, either bringing in your mom, bringing in your children, or bringing in whatever traumas and stuff that you suffered through as a stepping stone to make you stop or make you heal or make you submit to them. Y'all forbid if you have one of these women. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 16:26, he who labors for himself, for his mouth craves it of him. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. I like that one. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's lips enter into contention. Soon as you don't understand the fullness of the issue, and your first reaction, which is your visceral reaction, is to say something foolish or backtrack and say something retarded, to where now this man has to raise his voice, this man has to be upset, and now y'all go throughout the whole day not speaking, maybe the next 2 or 3 days not speaking, 3, 4, or 5 days after that, awkward to be around each other, all because of you not being able to restrain your lips. Because you see it as, oh, it's time to argue. It could be going good for a whole two weeks or 2 months. But as soon as a man be like, all right, I need you to stop doing that, or I need you to correct you for doing this, then it becomes all the 2 weeks and all the months that you let up while having all this good pleasure, all this fun time, all this canoodling that y'all were doing, all of a sudden that goes right out the window, because now it becomes, I have to defend myself forever. I got to defend my turf. I got to defend my feelings. I got to defend my emotions forever. And then eventually, for you women, that wears off, because you women can't stonewall like men can stonewall. They used to say, like, giving somebody the quiet treatment is somewhat abuse. I don't think it is. I think the best time, the best thing sometimes is to be quiet and to shut your mouth. Because eventually, during quiet is when women's brains go into, oh, am I wrong? Am I really wrong? Their overthinking kicks in. So that's why some women keep themselves busy after an argument. Especially when you got a man that don't talk after an argument, he know how to be quiet for a longer period of time. Women start overthinking. Damn, does he really love me? Damn, is he going to divorce me? Damn, is another woman that he's after? Oh, damn, where's he going? Is he going to somewhere else where he's going to find peace? That's when women start overreacting, overthinking, and then that's when they're like, all right, maybe I was bugging. Maybe I was too mouthy. Maybe I was too wordy. Maybe I did disrespect him. And I understand that's exactly what marriage is, and that's exactly what the Bible is. It's tolerating disrespect. And in hopes, eventually, they won't disrespect you no more. Except the Most High is going to put his laws, tests, commandments, and his ruach in our hearts and in our minds. He said this twice in scripture. Too bad as husbands, we can't do the same with our wives. We don't have no ruach or nothing to give them in hopes that they will stop disrespecting us. We just got to ride this wave. We got to ride this wave on out. Sadly, we gotta ride the wave of disrespect right on out in hopes that the disrespect is lengthy, which what I mean by that is just hope that there is respect longer between the disrespect each time that there is disrespect. Proverbs 30:32. If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. That's what you women need to do before you even respond. Lay your hand upon your mouth before you say something foolish and lifting up your pride or your ego. Men do not care to hear every little story or every little trauma about why you are the way you are. It is no excuse to keep disrespecting that man. It is literally no excuse. We don't care how many times you went out to the bar drinking, got drunk, and a man abused you or said something crazy to you. Because at the end of the day, it was you that placed yourself in these situations. It is you who gave up your trust way too fast to men that you wouldn't even want to spend your life with, and they abused it. That is your accountability and ain't nobody else's. So men who are in a situation with you now, they do not care to hear the excuse. They don't care to hear the reason. Men know exactly why you are the way you are. They just don't say it because you can't take truth to your face. Proverbs 31:8, which is funny how women don't ever talk about this part in Proverbs 31. Open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all, such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. So if you are transgressing the Torah, if you are transgressing the Shabbat, your man has every authority to say, please do not do this on the strength of Yah, because it's not just your destruction, it is our destruction. I don't want to be kicked out of paradise for your disobedience, because that's exactly what happened to Adam. He was kicked out because of Eve's disobedience, and he went along with the disobedience. So instead of smacking that fruit right out of her hand, he partaked with her. And men now are learning this. We are no longer taking the fruit of your hand. We are smacking it out of your hand as soon as we see, or we are smacking your hand as soon as we see you reach for that tree. And we have to constantly do that. So this union that Yah has created for us does not get destroyed. This ketubah that we've created does not get destroyed. So yes, we're going to open our mouths for the dumb in the moment. The dumb in the moment. Because if we don't do that, we're opening up our household for destruction. Open your mouth righteously. Proverbs 31:9. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You can't plead the cause of the poor and needy if you are dumb in your actions, if you are dumb in the Torah. You might as well, too, keep your mouth shut. And too many women love giving advice and not taking their own advice. They love giving admonishment and reproval and reproaching to other people who aren't following the way, and they aren't following the way. Yahushua talked about this, about the beam in your eye or the dust in your eye. You can't cast out the plank that is in somebody else's eye if you got sawdust or you got a beam in your eye.
Oh, people love me when they hear me talk. People like to listen to me because I'm always right. I give good advice.
And you don't take the advice that's given. That you are given. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the Torah of kindness. It can't be no kindness if the first inclination you get is to defend yourself with harsh words. Now, what comes hand in hand with your mouth is your pride. Plain and simple, is your pride. And there's so many examples of you women falling victim to the snares and pits of these spells that are cast out upon you. Because you just, regardless if you laugh at it, mock it, or disapprove of it, the words are already in your ears. You being the weaker vessel are just susceptible to certain doctrines. And at the time of heat, at the time of battle, those words that you hear, whether it be online, from the TV, or just conversation with those who are not falling away, that becomes your doctrine that you lean on when you defend yourself. You could be against it when you're in a lovey-dovey mood. You could be against it when you're in your uprightness and righteousness of heart. But soon as you are accused, soon as you are put down or humbled, then you lean on, how do I react the way that these women would react in the same situation? And this is what I'm talking about.
Aisha Curry out here talking about she never wanted to get married and she never wanted to have kids because she saw herself as a career woman.
I didn't want kids. I didn't want to get married. I thought I was going to be career girl and that's it.
Something that really bothers me and like honestly has given me a sense of a little bit of an insecurity is the fact that, yeah, like there are all these women like throwing themselves. I don't have any of that. Like I have zero male attention.
Let me put this plainly. Aisha Curry is a plant. She is a spell. That's it. She's a spell in human form. Just like Jay had Jada Pinkett air out her business about Will Smith and made it seem like he was a simp, made him seem like he accepted anything and everything that she did behind his back or in front of his face. It is a spell. That whole red table conversation, it is a spell. It was a spell so that it would go out so you women, when you in the heat of battle with your man, would lean on these words from these women to try to usurp the authority of the man in your household. This is why they continue to give you images. And they only give you these images from the Negro perspective. That means they fear and they hate when we get together as people. It has been a long time since the Willie Lynch papers, the Willie Lynch letter down in Virginia, to where they destroyed us and put us together based on how they wanted us to produce for their economy. Now, they don't have chains and whips and doctrines anymore as far as slave doctrine, like real constitution and real laws being made to withhold us from each other in the way that we seek ourselves. So now they give you images. They give you images from these idols and these people to follow. So you'd be like, ah, at the time of battle, I'm going to act like Aisha Curry. I'm not getting attention from you, and you want to flip it around on me, I'm going to look for attention from other men. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. And it's always in the heat of battle that women's brains flick over or switch over to this channel, to the Aisha Curry channel. And that's why they give you these women, regardless if you didn't want to listen to her before, regardless if you didn't even pay attention to her until this point. The reason when you listen to her, it goes into one, you think it goes in from one ear to out the other, but I'm telling you, in the heat of battle, you remember her words. I guarantee it, you remember what she says. Or any image that you've seen that tries to usurp authority over the man, you'd be like, ah, this is the playbook I need to go to get this man off me, to humble this man, to put this man underneath me when I'm wrong and I don't want to take accountability, because there's a lot of images of women not taking accountability. So you pick and pull from whatever doctrine is going to make the argument work for you, whatever playbook you call, whatever plays you call during this little game of going back and forth with your man, you use those plays. And that, with your pride, becomes a problem. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride or a woman's pride shall bring her low, but honor shall uphold the humble in Ruach. Y'all have a very difficult time dealing with humility. You want your man to show humility, but you have a problem demonstrating humility when you are wrong. I understood that women have no problem explaining by definition what humility is, or what empathy is, or what apathy is to a man. But when it comes to these particular type of emotional subjects, they act like they got it all figured out, that they are the PhDs of these type of emotions, that they show them whenever. But when it comes to their man and his reaction becomes more than the reaction that they're looking for, then it becomes, this man has a lack of the emotions I think I know better than. But that's pride talking. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty ruach before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty ruach before a fall. Before, used to be haughty, prideful in your relationships, because either you were the breadwinner, either your man was a simp or a beta, and you were able to control him either through sex, either through cooking, either through your body or whatever. Whatever that worked for you, whatever you manipulated in getting that man, you used it on this man to bring him underneath of you. And the thing with that is, when it says also in Sirach, a sinful woman or a sinful man is given to a sinful woman, and that is their portion. Wickedness. A wicked man is given the portion of a wicked woman. But now that we come into the fullness of this gospel, and now we walk a new walk, and now we are new people, we cannot bring what we used to do in past relationships into a righteous relationship or an upright relationship, because now we have somebody who will admonish and humble you through Ruach, not through action, but through Ruach. And men, as we men, as trying to be righteous and upright, we go right to the Father and be like, look, this is what's going on. You have given me authority over this household. This is what's going on. It's only but so much I can do until it comes to you. It's only but so much I can handle before I flip. It's only so much patience I can show. And that's when Yah has the ability to bring you low. Why go through that? Why need to go through that? Because a man bringing you low is completely different from the Most High Yah bringing you low. Because you can't fight back against something you've never seen. If he snatches something away from you, if he causes you to have a flat tire in order for you to call your man, if y'all haven't been speaking for a couple of days, he will put you in a situation, a hard situation, where you have to, again, rely on your man. So you can see that that man has always been there for you, and the shame of you disrespecting that man will show on your face. That's the power of Yah. Yah has the ability to put you in a situation to humble you, where you can't have nobody to talk back to, that you know that you have to humble yourself in order for your prayers to be heard, that you have to repent in order for your prayers to be heard. It don't matter how many times you read scriptures. Eventually, that Ruach will move your eyes into a scripture that you are not looking for, that'll make you submit to his authority. And his authority is the man of that household. You want to go from A to C? Yah will make you go from A to A1 to A2 to A3 to A4. He will make you do that legwork, and he won't stop at B. He will keep going until you figure it out. So why put yourself through that? Because that's exactly what will happen when you disrespect your covering. Ecclesiastical Sirach 10:21. The fear of Yahuwah goes before the obtaining of authority. The fear of Yahuwah goes before the obtaining of authority. If your man is already in fear of Yahuwah, that is the obtaining of his authority over the household. Understand that. Men ain't out here, especially men that are following the Torah, we aren't out here doing everything willy-nilly. We're not out here just appeasing our flesh. We are not ruling over you with fleshly hands. We are trying to rule over you with the spirit of the Ruach, with Ruach hands. Because it's our fear of Yah that's going to make us act right, that'll make us watch our mouths. So y'all haven't been accountable a lot in your lives and a lot of your lives from the mouth and words you speak. That is the one issue. Some of y'all have been wordy all your life and never had anybody judge you on your mouth or judge you on your words. I had one time I got gaslighted and said, "Oh, you remember what I say too much." I was like, "What? You remember what I say? You remember? You're writing down what I say all the time." As a man, you should be paying attention to the words of your woman. If you're trying to please her, and if your thing is about pleasing and spoiling your woman, you are very attentive of what your woman says out of her mouth. The double-edged sword to that is that if your woman is used to saying disrespect at times when she shouldn't be disrespectful, that sticks more into your mind than anything else that ever comes out of her mouth. And it becomes a pattern recognition program that you go into, you compartmentalize all the predictive programming and all the pattern recognition that you do with your woman. That becomes its own little safe, the little lockbox. So you store that away. Each thing she says that's disrespectful, you store it away. Because you know there's a pattern there. And you know where that pattern comes from. And you know where the source that it comes from too. That they've gotten away with being wordy, disrespectful in their relationships far beyond when they ever started going out with you. And this has been their natural or their visceral reaction into handling not being accountable, is to be wordy and mouthy. It has worked. They wouldn't be this way if it has not worked. It would not be this way if it did not work. And women can't differentiate men from other men. I don't think they can. I think when it comes to how things work for them, they think it's going to work for all men. Because like I said, women love to be emotionally manipulative. They may say they ain't trying to be manipulative, but they know when they're being manipulative. Some of them are so good at it, they fooling themselves and think they're not being manipulative, but they are. They fooled themselves so much, they think this is just natural for them. That they have reason to be this way. That Yah made them this way. This is why they glue so much to when they get a pass for disrespect, because they think this is how Yah made them. And it's the other person's fault. Is the reason why they made them a particular way or made them suffer in a particular way where they have to cleave to this defense mechanism, this survival tactic to be disrespectful to you. But it says, Sirach 26:26, a woman that honors her man shall be judged wise of all, but she that dishonors him in her pride shall be counted wicked of all. Wicked. It's almost like a sin to be dishonorable or disrespectful to your man, especially when your man is being respectful. But I'm going to go back to Sirach 10:21, where it says, the fear of Yahuwah goes before the obtaining of authority. It also says, but roughness and pride is the losing thereof. So we know we'll lose our authority. We will lose our headship if we are too rough with you, if we are too prideful. That is the patience, that is the restraining of our lips. Sirach 10:7, pride is hateful before Elohim and man, and by both does one commit iniquity. Pride is hateful before Yah. Hateful. So if the Most High hates it, what makes you think the man that he has set up over the household likes it? This ain't one of those sayings where if you hate it, I love it. It ain't one of those sayings. If he hates it, I hate it. That's how we should move in this generation anyway. If he hates it, I hate it. And sometimes learning to seek him 10 times more after you found him, you will learn what the Most High hates. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you do something or go somewhere and you think like, I don't think y'all would hate this until he show you, I hate this too. Don't go to this. Don't be a part of that. I hate this too. The fear of Yahuwah in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of Yahuwah is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So you can read all the scriptures you want, but you won't read these scriptures that tell you to keep your mouth shut, that'll tell you to watch the words that are coming out of your mouth if you start to speak. And the best way that you can conquer this is learn to put your hand over your mouth during an argument. When your man is finished talking, think, show some type of understanding, the same understanding you want him to have for you when you go through one of your flights of foolishness or when you go through one of these weird stories that you tell that makes no bit of difference about this relationship. Have the same type of understanding that he shows you. Cover your mouth before you say something you're going to end up regretting. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. If you remain humble, if you remain lowly, you will always have that wisdom to be like, ah, this is why he said that. This is why he wanted me to do this. He truly cares about Yah's Shabbat. He truly cares about Yah's feast days. This is not about me. This is about him upholding what Yah has given him authority to do. I love this man because this man is watching out for not only me, but our entire household. So we are able to be blessed. We are able to have abundance because we are staying within the covenant. Man, I'm glad I didn't say much. I'm glad I didn't go back to my old self and had a reaction like the other boyfriends that beat on me, that treat me bad, cheated on me, or abused me. I'm glad I was patient. I'm glad I didn't go that route. As much as we owe our entire existence to Yah and Yahusha, even Yahusha kept quiet. And I'll end it with this. Even Yahusha was in silence. Imagine that a man was sent to earth, knows exactly what type of human beings he was dealing with, knowing that he could not reach all of them, know that he could not correct all of them. But still, when they asked him questions, he didn't say much. Even when they accused him, he didn't say much, even when he knew that they were wrong. Even when he knew they were dead wrong, but he knew that this program, this entire plan was of Yah's, that it had to happen. Imagine being a man having to fight back words, fight back mockery, fight back blasphemy, fight that back. Because he knew exactly how they would end up. You know the type of petty I would have been if I knew exactly every single last person and their backstory. And when they came to accuse me, that I would have the ability to rip right through them, rip right through the heart of them. And then laugh in their face. There was a reason why we aren't picked to be the Messiah. It is a really strong reason why none that were born from man and woman were ever picked to be the Messiah. That Yah had to truly have this type of patience and creating it for himself. Yeshayahu 53:7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. This is what your man goes through, ladies. When you are a mouthy and wordy person, this man knows he's going to you like a lamb to the slaughter. He knows that you won't take accountability. He knows you won't take accountability after the first 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of an argument. He knows this. He knows it's going to have to come to a point where y'all separate, don't speak to each other for 3 or 4 days before he even gets an inkling of accountability from you. He knows this. He knows the affliction. But on the other hand, when it comes to him making a mistake, when it comes to him messing up, when it comes to him transgressing your little borders or transgressing your little laws that you implanted in your head because of these other garbage relationships that you found yourself in and put yourself in that created these little walls that you ask us to jump over top of, when it comes to us being at guilt by one of these little bylaws in your brain, we come to you and listen to you and don't necessarily say nothing. We say nothing because we come with the understanding that this is a hurt woman. This is the little boundary that she has made because of the situation she put herself in. I have to give her patience. I have to give her grace. Just like the Most High has given us grace and mercy. I have to show her what mercy and grace looks like. I have to show her that maybe if I be quiet when I know I'm in the wrong, she would somewhat adapt my form of response to whatever issue that I have to correct her on. This is how men think logically. We think that, okay, if I demonstrate being quiet when I'm wrong, maybe she will see what I do and mirror what I do. But no, most women, especially haughty, high-minded women in their pride and ego, will only mimic you when it comes to disrespect. I learned that out too very fast. If I'm disrespectful, if I'm catty or petty, she will follow my cattiness and pettiness. But when I show her, this is how I react to you when I am wrong. But that goes overlooked. Because it's so much easier for women to be petty, so much easier for them to be catty. They are the weaker vessel. So what do they think they're going to lean on? The weaker reaction. But Yahusha, being afflicted and oppressed, chose not to say nothing, but chose to speak through action. Matthew 26, 61 to 67. And said this fellow, said, I am able to destroy the temple of Elohim and to build it in 3 days. This is what Yahusha said. He didn't say he was going to destroy people. He didn't say he was going to destroy nations. He was simply talking about a temple that comes from his own bloodline. And he's talking to the high priest. Something that has nothing to do with them. Understand, what he's talking to, who he's talking to, had nothing to do with bloodline Yasharel. So really, they shouldn't have said nothing. And the high priest arose and said to him, answer you nothing? What is it which these witness against you? But Yahusha held his peace. But Yahusha held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you by the living El that you tell us whether you be Hamashiach, the son of Elohim. Yahusha said unto him, you have said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the son of Adam sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. Mind you, what kind of behavior is this? That if you don't like what the man said, and you want him to answer, and he gave you an answer, you rip up your clothes in front of him? This is a female ruach. This is a feminine spirit coming from a man. You don't like what I say, so you rip up your clothes in front of me? How many times you women catch your man cheating, and the first thing you do, you break up the pots and pans and the plates in your own apartment, and then you kick him out while you clean up the mess in your house? How many movies have we seen of when women catch their man cheating and they go absolutely berserk, ripping up curtains, flipping over tables, and it's their apartment? Remember that, what was that movie? He's just not that into you. He's not into you, that movie. When they had like a bunch of random people and they played a little game of, the little cat and mouse game that men and women play with each other. And one of the characters was dating, I can't even think of the top of my head now. One of the characters were dating a man, and he was cheating on her with Scarlett Johansson. And he told his wife that he quit smoking. He quit smoking. He was smoking in the house they were remodeling, and he was hiding it. So when she found him smoking, she found a pack of cigarettes. This woman, like, literally picked up a mirror, destroyed it, and dropped it on the floor, and she had to be the one that cleaned it up. Obviously, I mean, it's different movies that they have shown you where women destroy stuff in their own houses and then kick the man out for cheating. But this is that type of spirit is what I'm saying. You don't like what I said. I answered you what you want me to say. I answered in a way that you should understand it. And it was very small, very minimal, with probably no emotion. I probably, you who should just said this with like no emotion. Like, yeah, I am son of Elohim. Yeah, I'm son of Yah. Yah didn't do that. Yahushua didn't do that. I'm pretty sure he didn't do that. I'm pretty sure he was like, you said it. You want me to say what you want me to say, but I just said you said it. Then he said, oh, he confirmed it. You'll see the son of Yah coming in the clouds of heaven with power. You'll see it. And then the man ripped his clothes on up, saying he has spoke blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face, buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. This is what this man has done for us. While keeping his peace, while not saying much, and allowing high priest in that feminine spirit act the fool, have all the reactions being grown men. This is what you can learn, ladies. This is what you can learn. And none of us are like high priests. None of us are trying to buffet you, smote you, or spit in your face. But that's how you take it when we try to correct you, which is weird, really weird to me. You take it as the ultimate disrespect when a man tried to correct you. And all we want to hear is, are you accountable for these actions? And maybe not even saying it out of your mouth. Maybe just doing it with your actions. Since men are men of action anyway. Sometimes we don't want to hear what comes out of your mouth. We tired of hearing what comes out of your mouth. Maybe we just want to hear your actions. Maybe we just want to hear or see you do what we talk about. Maybe that's it. If you don't want to say sorry, if you don't want to say, hey, I'm accountable for the way I acted. Maybe just doing something that'll show us or demonstrate to us that you are accountable for your actions. That's it. Because it is our actions that will be etched in the heavenly tablet. So I'll close with this truly. Enoch 104 verses 1 through 3. I swear to you, righteous, that in heaven the angels record your goodness before the glory of Yah. Wait with patient hope, for formerly you have been disgraced with evil and with affliction. But now shall you shine like the luminaries of heaven. You shall be seen, and the gates of heaven shall be opened to you. Your cries have cried for judgment and has appeared to you. For an account of all your sufferings shall be required from your princes and from everyone who has assisted your plunderers. Wait with patient hope, nor relinquish your confidence. For great joy shall be yours. Like that of the angels in heaven, conduct yourselves as you may. Still, you shall not be concealed in the day of great judgment. You shall not be found like sinners, and eternal condemnation shall be far from you, so long as the world exists. There are angels, messengers, watchers that record your goodness just as much as they record all of your mishaps. Your words and things that say to your mouth are recorded daily. Scripture says, do not let gall be found in your mouth. So when it comes to an argument with your man, learn to zip it. Learn to think. It's okay to come back to the table 10 to 15 minutes later. It's okay to not have the last word. Because that last word that you use could be the final word of your relationship, could be the final word of your grace, could be the final word of your mercy. You think on that.